You will now hear the remainder of quotations for Session 6. Gene Tabor presents our role in preparing the laborers for God's harvest field.
Man-to-man in the Scriptures is very prominent. Of course, you've heard Paul and Timothy, I suppose. Also, Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. Perhaps you've considered Luke and Theophilus. And would you believe Deborah and Barak? It was interesting to me to note that in the Gospel of John, it records 39 occasions where Jesus spent time with one person or a select group of two or three, versus 20 occasions when he was with larger groups. Mark records 43 occasions with individuals or small groups, versus 30 with large groups or crowds. So we can see that throughout the Scriptures we have this emphasis on man-to-man. I think also practical experience shows us something of it. Human nature provides an example. God created the world, man and woman, told them to reproduce. And here it brings us to the very heart of man-to-man, the father-son relationship. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Something else that I'd like to bring into focus along here that we've heard much of, this monkey-see-monkey-do thing, I'd like to just bring it in a new way. Famous English philosopher Edmund Burke, political philosopher, I think, of the 17th century, could be wrong on the date there, says, "Example is the school of mankind, and they will learn at no other. Example is the school of mankind, and they will learn at no other. Now, this brings us to a concept that is very important when we consider the importance of man-to-man. In Matthew 9:38, we're told to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now let's examine that momentarily. Laborers and the harvest, Matthew 9:38. Let's reason about this. Whose harvest is it? Well, it's the Lord's harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Who sends forth these laborers into his harvest? The Lord sends forth laborers into his harvest. We have taken on ourselves in the Navigators not only responsibility to pray, but to do something about the raising up of these laborers. But nonetheless, in the last analysis, they are the Lord's laborers that he thrusts into his harvest. To say that a different way, we do not control in entirety where these people will go. Yet we're supposed to prepare them for some sort of harvest work, and just where and just what, we don't quite know. Now, how are we going to do this? How can we ensure that anywhere these kind of people go, that they will be able to be effective in that harvest? Well, I can think of one way. That is, they must be qualified at least to a certain minimum level that they can do this everywhere, every time. Now, the Marine Corps has a term for this, and you, all you good Marines will rise up and cheer and throw your hats in the air. Every man a basic rifleman. Hey! Good deal, I got all the Marines on my side now. Every man a basic rifleman. What does this concept mean? Well, it means that whether you're a corporal or a cook or a captain in the Marine Corps, you are still a basic rifleman. Everyone has been trained to handle a weapon, to aim it, clean it, fire it, take account for himself wherever he is. Whether he's a major or a master sergeant or machine gunner, he's a basic rifleman. Every man. Now, how can we do this? Well, the answer should be obvious. The least common denominator of disciple-making is this matter of man to man. So let's run down again. The importance of man-to-man, first of all, is seen in the Scriptures. Secondly, we see it in practical experience. Because of the human nature, because of our father-son relationship, and because of the nature of man and just the way